Good morning, everyone. To welcome each one to the worship service this morning, and especially the visitors, we're glad that you came to worship here with us, and I hope that everyone can be blessed this morning. I've been blessed already, and I think that if I just sat down right now, we could all go home and we'd have something to take with us. I was especially blessed by your devotions this morning, Danley. That was a splendid introduction to the topic that I'd like to talk about this morning. Also, James's devotions tied in there too. That what I want to talk about has a lot to do with making and breaking ties between us. You can open your Bibles for an opening scripture to Proverbs chapter 18. There's a verse here that I read this week, and actually it popped up as a notification on my phone about 2 minutes before James asked me if I'd consent to preach this morning. And I decided that there wasn't anything else that was on my mind to preach about other than this verse. So I think God led me to it, and I hope that we can all be inspired by it this morning. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, almost everyone in this world has a tongue. According to my research, there's only 11 recorded cases. It's 11 recorded cases of someone being born without a tongue since the year 1718. It's very, very rare that someone's born without a tongue. Now, some people have their tongues removed for different medical conditions or something like that, but almost everyone has a tongue. Does that tongue, that organ that's universal to nearly everybody in this world, I think everybody here has one, as far as I know, does that actually hold the power of life and death, as King Solomon wrote here in Proverbs? Or was King Solomon actually referring to his tongue, the king's tongue? You know, in the Old Testament, as a monarch in ancient times, your tongue actually did hold the power of life and death. Remember the story that is told about Solomon, that's in our Bibles, the story where two women were fighting over a baby. One lady's baby had died, and the other's baby was alive, and they were fighting over which one or who had the live baby. And they came before King Solomon into his court. And Solomon told these two ladies that couldn't agree whose baby it was that, or actually he told his courtiers to bring him a sword, because I'll divide the baby in half, and you can have one half, and you can have the other half. Well, we know how that story turned out, that Solomon was able to prove who was actually the child's mother. But Solomon's tongue there, the King Solomon's tongue, truly did hold the power of death and life for that infant. Well, is your tongue that powerful this morning? Think about that. Well, the title I've chosen for today is "Death and Life Are in the Power of Your Tongue." Death and life are in the power of your tongue. So I'm concluding that your tongue does hold the power of death and life. And I'll explain to you over the course of this message why I believe that. I'd like to spend our time this morning looking at what the Bible has to say about the power of our speech and words. I said that Denley's devotions was an excellent introduction to what I have to talk about this morning. And that's because Denley talked about our hearts and what's in our hearts. Are our hearts cold and empty? Are our hearts warm and filled with God and good things? Well, how do you know that? Do you always know what's in your heart? Are you a fair judge of what's in your heart? Or are you like me, where sometimes I know mostly what's in my heart, but sometimes I'm not 100% sure? Well, our speech, our tongue, gives us a window into what's in our hearts. And if you truly want to understand and know what's in your heart, pay attention to the words that you speak. If you want to know what's in somebody else's heart, pay attention to the words that they speak, because our words are a window into our heart. It's an important window. So a few statistics about the words that we speak. Research says that the average person says somewhere between 6,000 and 16,000 words per day. And I've often heard it said that women speak a lot more words in a day than men, but research says it's not the truth. That men and women speak about exactly the same amount of words in a day. People typically talk at a rate of about 150 words per minute, so that means that you probably spend somewhere between 40 minutes and an hour and 40 minutes talking per day. So I guess if I talk for 45 minutes, I've at least reached my minimum limit of words spoken for the day. It's not like you have to say that many words in a day either. But the words that we say are spoken words, but in our modern day and age, I think that what I'm talking about here this morning applies to our texts, it applies to our emails, it applies to any type of communication that we have with other people. So what I have to say today should apply to all of our communication. I'm going to talk about words. It applies to every interaction that we have with other people. So just how important are your words? Turn with me to Matthew 12. I think we're going to start here, Matthew 12. Looking at verses 33-35. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees about the unforgivable sin of attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And so this passage, these verses that I'm going to read to you, are right after that. Matthew 12, verses 33-35. Jesus says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And what Jesus is saying there is that our words are an indicator of what is in our heart. We're going to be looking at quite a few verses in Proverbs later. And I'd like you to pay attention as we read these different verses in Proverbs to how many times Solomon mentions this connection between our heart and our mouth. Our tongue, our words that we speak, come from our heart. And while you can deceive people for a while, it is possible to speak good words and deceive people for a while. You cannot keep that up forever. And the true value of your heart will come out in the words that you speak. Now would you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. There's a few verses here where Jeremiah, or God through Jeremiah, is talking about the heart of man. So we said that our words are a window to our heart. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, talk about the heart of an unregenerate man, which is all humans who haven't been touched by God and received the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 say, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can understand your heart?" And verse 10 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So God knows your heart. How does God know your heart? The phrase that I was thinking about in this verse is, "I try the reins." You know how when I don't know how many of you have ridden horses before, I've done it a few times, but when you try the reins of a horse, you pull on this rein, or if you're neck reining, you touch the rein on the side of the horse's neck to make it go this way, and you pull on this side to make it go that way. And by doing that, you try the reins to see if the horse will respond to what you ask it to do. Well, does God do that to you? The Bible says that he does. He tries your reins to see what's in your heart. So we know that God knows everything. But I think God tries our reins to show us what's in our own heart too. And part of the evidence of what is in our heart when God tries our reins is the words that we speak. When God gives you a trying circumstance, or God puts you in a place where he's trying you out, the words that you speak are evidence of what's in your heart. Now turn back to Matthew 12 with me. I should have told you to keep your finger there, but Matthew 12, there's a few more verses that I'd like to read here. Why is it so important? I'm still thinking about just how important are your words. Why is it so important that we pay attention to the words that we speak? Well, we're going to pick up at verse 36 in Matthew 12. And Jesus here is talking about the words and how they indicate what is in our heart. And he says in verse 36, Matthew 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." You know, every word we say is being recorded, and we're going to give account for them. I'd like you to think with me back over the past 7 days. What if each of you had a transcript of everything you said in the past 7 days handed to you right now, and you had to read over that? Just think about that. I can't remember everything I said in the past 7 days, probably not the past 10 minutes, but I'm afraid that if I was presented with a transcript of what I said in the past 7 days, that there'd probably be some things that I'd be embarrassed of if I had to read over it. The reason it's so important that we pay attention to our words and the things that we say is that there is a transcript. And someday we're either going to be condemned by that transcript or we're going to be justified by that transcript of the words that we said. Now, that's sobering. I'd like you to turn with me to James chapter 3. Why is it important that we talk about the words that we speak? Well, James has things to say about the tongue. Denley read us some verses out of James that mention the tongue. In chapter 1, verse 26, that verse that Denley read to us this morning, he says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." There, James pointed out that the tongue needs to be controlled. And then later on in this book of James, chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 1 through 13 to you. Why is it important that we look at a subject like our speech and how our speech affects others? Well, let's read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 13 here. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." What that verse is saying here is my brethren, James is talking to brothers. That's important. In this chapter, James isn't talking to unregenerate people, people who don't understand what it means to be a Christian. James is talking to brothers in Christ. He's talking to you and I. And he says here, "Be not many masters." And now I like another translation that says, not many of you should be teachers, because knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation is because teachers receive the greater scrutiny. People pay attention more to what teachers say. Picking up verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, on one hand, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So I think what James is trying to say here in this chapter, what he is saying is that in verse 2 he says, if any man never offends anybody with the things that he says, he's perfect. And he has control of his tongue. But he goes on to say in this chapter that there's nobody like that who can completely control their own tongue. Verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So why is it important that we think about our words? Why am I talking about this subject this morning? Well, even though we do our best to please God and serve Him, and we're committed to serving God, we never can fully tame our tongue. That's important. That is why it is important that we talk about how to use the tongue properly. So for the remainder of this message, we're going to turn back to Proverbs. And Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. We're going to talk about 9 right ways to use our tongue and 9 wrong ways to use our tongue. And there's just a lot of verses in Proverbs about the use of the tongue. I'm going to read a lot of those references to you. I don't have just a lot of comments. I have a few things to say about it. But I'm going to let the scriptures speak for themselves in a large part. So, first of all, let's think about the wrong ways that we can use our tongue. Let's turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. I have a lot of different verses. You can decide whether you want to turn to them all or not. But the first one let's start out with is Proverbs 10, verse 8. This first category, or the first wrong way that I have here to use your tongue is, it's wrong to use your tongue to speak too many words. And here's why I believe that. Proverbs 10, verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. And my cross-reference for the word prating says that it has the meaning of babbling or chattering. Notice the connection here between the heart and the mouth again. The wise in heart receive commandments. They listen. But a fool babbles. It takes control of the conversation and just keeps going, even though they don't really have anything to say. That prating is that idea of just chattering or babbling or just words without any real meaning or substance. This is a trap we all can fall into. I don't know. For me, it's probably something when I'm uncomfortable that I try to keep a conversation going because you have to have something to say, otherwise silence is uncomfortable. But that's a trap that I can fall into. I know it for myself. And Solomon has good advice here. Don't be the person who just keeps on going when you have nothing left to say, because that's foolish. Second reference I have is later on in this chapter, Proverbs 10, verse 19. Solomon again talks about somebody who talks too much. And he says in verse 19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Solomon here says that if you talk too much, you're bound to get yourself in trouble. That's just the way it works. We've all likely done it at times. I have. I've said something, just talked too much, and I got myself in trouble. And then you wonder why afterward, what possessed you to say the thing that you said? Why did I say that? It's a trap, another trap that we can fall into. Just talking again when we don't really have anything to say. And Solomon says that if you learn to control your lips, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Another reference for this is Proverbs 15, verse 2, and then verse 28. Proverbs 15, verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And then verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So what does Solomon mean when he talks about somebody just pouring out foolishness or pouring out evil things? Well, have you ever met someone who just didn't have a filter on their mouth? This is another trap. These verses talk about a fool who just blurts out or pours out whatever's going through his mind with no filter on it. Often we fall into this trap when we just blurt out something before we think through. We know the rule that you should count to 10 before you talk, but how many of us practice it? Maybe y'all do more than I do, but I know that's something that I've fallen into, is just saying something before you think it through. And these verses tell us that the result of blurting out things and just talking before you think something through is foolishness or evil. So again, one of the wrong ways that you can use your tongue is just to talk too much. The next one is an important category too, and that the second wrong way that we can use our tongue is to say deceitful or lying words, to deceive people or to lie. And you can turn with me to Proverbs 6. I have a couple verses I want to read here in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, we know these verses. They're the seven things that God hates. Proverbs 6, verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that spreadeth lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." These verses talk about the things that God hates, and two of those seven things relate to saying things with your mouth that are not true. Lying and deceit are an abomination to God, and he doesn't tolerate them in his kingdom. So we need to be careful that we tell the truth, and only the truth. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." Proverbs 19, verse 5 says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." Proverbs 21, verse 6, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." So the result of lying, the result of deceit, in the long term, no matter if you have short-term gain from it, but in the long term, it is always death. We are always condemned if we lie, and if we don't tell the truth. The third category, or the third thing that we can use our way that we can use our tongue wrongly, is for malicious and destructive words. So the verse that I got this from is Proverbs 11, verse 9, where it says, "A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." What does Solomon mean by that? Well, our words are capable of destroying others. It's something we need to think about when we talk. And one of the most disturbing things about talk and the way that we can use words to hurt others is that often the hurtful words that we speak to the ones that we love the most. It's often in the heat of the moment, or when we let our guard down, that something slips out, something hurtful slips out that we just never should have said. We never should have thought it. But we said it because we let our guard down. And those malicious words, those destructive words, are often said to those who we love the most, who we care about the most. But that's a way that we can use our tongue to destroy other people. And even if you say you're sorry, after you've said something malicious and destructive, that helps if you ask for forgiveness. But that's like trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. Once it's out, it's been said. It's hurtful. And it takes time to heal from that. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. It's a way that we can use our tongue wrong to destroy people. The fourth one I have here is closely related, but that is gossip and slander. It's the wrong way that we can use our tongue. You know, gossip or slander causes strife, separates friends, and gossip or slander, which maybe I should define those two things. Gossip, I would say, is telling stories about other people that maybe they're good, maybe they're not. It doesn't really matter. But it's telling stories about people. Most times, to tear other people down. Slander is telling things about people to put them in a bad light, to ruin their character in front of other people. But the purpose of both gossip and slander is to tear others down. There's a number of verses in Proverbs that talk about that. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. And that talebearer there, I'd like to replace that or give you the meaning of that word, is somebody who gossips. Somebody who gossips takes the confidence that someone else has put in them, or secret, and they reveal it to other people in a manner that's hurtful. Causes strife. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says, A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. That whisperer, again, has the idea of a gossip, somebody who's telling things that shouldn't be told about other people. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. And Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So in all of those verses, Solomon is pointing out the way that you can use your tongue to cause strife, to hurt people, to break up friendships, and things like that. And one of those ways is by gossiping or slandering somebody else. It's something that should always be avoided, something that a Christian should never do. Number five is flattery. How can you use your tongue wrong? Well, you can flatter people. Proverbs 29, verse 5 says, A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. What does it mean to flatter somebody? Well, flattery is deceit. So it falls into that category of deceit and lying that we had talked about before. It's a little bit different, maybe. But flattery is deceit, and it causes others to fall into the trap of pride. Flattery is always misleading others, and it's trying to make them believe good things about themselves, or believe things about themselves that just are not true. When somebody's flattering you, they're trying to build you up for a reason. But they're always telling you things that aren't exactly true. They're misleading people. And it says in Proverbs 29, verse 5, that verse that I read to you, that when somebody flatters you, or if you flatter somebody else, what you're doing is spreading a trap for their feet. Flattery always causes people to trip and fall, or fall into a trap. Number six is hasty speech. The way that you can use your tongue wrong is hasty speech. Proverbs 18, verse 13, I have two references for this one. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says, Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. It's easy to become impatient when you're listening to other people. Have you ever done that? Maybe it's just a man thing. We've all done it. We might interrupt somebody who's talking, or we might just tune out and be there, but not there, not present, not paying attention, not really listening. I think this might be a trap that men especially fall into easily. How many times have you been listening to your wife tell you something, maybe explain a problem to you, and you had a solution to that problem long before she finished telling you what the problem was? Afraid I'm guilty of that. I know I'm guilty of it. But Solomon in these verses says, He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, whether you just answered it in your mind or whether you interrupted and started talking before somebody finished explaining the problem to you, it's a folly and a shame. It's a wrong way to use your tongue. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. So something that I think I need to work on is not being hasty in my speech. Hear other people out. Number 7 is boasting. Proverbs 27 verses 1 and 2 say, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." So boasting is telling others how awesome I am, or what I'm going to do. Boasting is presumptuous, and it always just stinks to other people. It's just the way it works. Always stinks to those who hear it. It turns people off. It's probably one of the best ways to lower someone else's opinion of yourself. You know, if you're boasting, often what you're trying to do is build yourself up in front of other people. But it doesn't work that way. That's the wrong way to use your tongue. It's one of the best, most efficient ways to lower somebody's opinion of you. It's boasting. Number 8 is quarreling or strife. It's one of those things that God hates. We read that in Proverbs chapter 6. One of the things that God hates is someone who sows discord among brethren. Proverbs 17, verse 14 says, "The beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with." What does that mean? Well, starting a quarrel, starting strife, getting something going like that is like opening a floodgate. Have you ever opened a gate or a door where there was water behind? I've done that with... Maybe you're dumping out a bucket of water. Say you have a 30-gallon drum of water and you start tipping it and you kind of have control of it until the water starts going, and then the momentum just takes it and it all goes whoosh. Well, that's how it is when you start strife. After you get it started, there's no good way to stop it. It's like opening a floodgate. And it's a wrong use of the tongue. Proverbs 26, verse 17, it's a familiar verse, says that he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. So, don't get involved with strife that doesn't concern you. If you meddle with it, if you have to touch it, if you have to get involved, it's like grabbing an angry dog by the ears. It's just not possible to get away without getting hurt. That's how strife is, and how meddling with strife is. Number 9, poor timing. Proverbs 27, verse 14 is the verse that I have here. And it says, "He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him." Poor timing. Sometimes it just isn't a good time to speak, even if you do have a good thing to say. And we need wisdom to know when the right time is for us to talk. I like that verse. If you meet one of your friends, if almost every family has a morning person, and a person who isn't a morning person. And if you are not the morning person and you wake up and somebody says good morning to you all cheerfully, it just isn't a good morning. Even though good morning is a great thing to say. Well, we need to be wise about when we say the things that we say. And it takes God to give us the wisdom to time our talk right. You know, another way that we could talk with poor timing is something as simple as talking when you should be working. An example of that might be a group of employees who's gathered around somewhere having a great discussion about something not work-related while they're on the clock. That's poor timing. Maybe the things that you say are good. Do it another time. Now let's go on to something a little more positive here. What are the right ways to use your tongue? Well, there's lots of verses in Proverbs about the right ways to use your tongue. The first one I have here is to refresh and nourish others. Proverbs 10, verse 11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Proverbs 18, verse 4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." Can you think of anything more refreshing than a cool drink when you're hot and tired on one of these summer afternoons? Well, when we use our words correctly, when we use our tongue correctly, it can have that effect on the people around us. It can refresh other people and help them Proverbs 10, verse 21 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." And those words of wisdom that we can use, that we can speak when we use our tongues right, can give strength to others to go on in life. The second one, right way to use your tongue, is to heal those who are hurt. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." And Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." You know, the words we speak are either hurting other people, or they're helping other people, or they're useless. They're chattering. We should always try to speak words of help and healing. But I'd like to point out here that healing words aren't always easy to say. It's just like the doctors who help us heal our bodies or help our bodies to heal. Sometimes healing takes surgery. And surgeons cut, and cutting hurts. But the goal is always healing. And it should be that way with our words. Our words should always be helpful and pointed toward healing other people. The third one is cheering others up. The right way to use your tongue is to cheer others up. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, "Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." And I'm sure we've all experienced this. This word heaviness in this verse talks about, or it refers to anxiousness or worry. And when you're anxious or you're worried about something, it's easy to be depressed. Your shoulders stoop. But a good word, somebody who's cheerful, somebody who helps you work through things, makes our hearts glad. And we need to look for ways to encourage others and help them to stand straight when we see them stooping under the load of worry. Number four, right way to use your tongue is to teach wisdom. Proverbs 15, verse 7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." Proverbs 16, verse 21 says, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." One of the most important uses of our words is to pass on the lessons that we learn and the wisdom that we've picked up along the way. We always need to remember to do this with humility, though, and not in the spirit of, yeah, I've been there, I've done that, I have the answers, because everybody's life is a little bit different. We need to pass on wise lessons. I like how chapter 15, verse 7 says that the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. These lessons, this knowledge that we have, has to be passed on in a way that is wise. Otherwise, people don't appreciate it. Number five, right way to use your tongue is to resolve conflict. And this is a verse here, Proverbs 15, verse 1, familiar verse that we all know. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You know, the words that you say today are either going to make your situation better or they're going to make it worse. Our intent should always be to resolve conflicts and to make a situation better, even if that means that we get taken advantage of or we get the worst end of the deal. Remember that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Our tongue should be used to resolve conflict, not create conflict. Number six, the right way to use our tongue is to correct errors. Proverbs 25, verse 12 says, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." Proverbs 18, verse 23 says, "He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." Sometimes we must use our words to give correction, and wise correction that's given in a spirit of humility is immensely valuable. It's like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold to those who receive it. We all need correction because we're human. We're not perfect. We talked about that earlier. And let's be willing to give correction. I know correction has helped me. It's almost harder for me to give correction. I don't know why that is that way. Maybe it's just me, but I don't like to meddle with other people's lives. It's human tendency. But I've appreciated the corrections that I've received. We need to be willing to give correction as well. Number seven, we talked about poor timing. A right way to use your tongue is by giving timely responses. Proverbs 15, verse 23 says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." Proverbs 25, verse 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." Now, we talked about how bad poor timing is, how you can say good things at the wrong time and people just won't listen. But good words are the exact opposite of that. Good words spoken at the right time are the best thing in your life. This gives a counterbalance to the point of how you can use your tongue at the wrong time and it's not appreciated. But again, we need God's guidance to know when it's the right time to say something. Number eight, right way to use your tongue is to defend the helpless. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9 say, "Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." I talked about how we can get ourselves in trouble with our tongue. We get ourselves in trouble by saying too much pretty often. And maybe your reaction, like mine, is that, well, maybe I just shouldn't say anything. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes it is wrong to be silent. And one of those times when it's wrong to be silent is when you see somebody who's being taken advantage of and you have the opportunity to help them, but you stay silent, and that is just wrong. An example of this might be when somebody says something untrue about someone else when they're not present. They're not present to help themselves, and that might be in the context of gossip or telling stories about other people. I think it would be wrong for us to be silent and to not correct that. And there's other times in life, I think maybe you can think of some that are applications that you can make to that. But if you see somebody who's being oppressed and you have the power to help them by saying words, do it. It is wrong to be silent in a situation like that. So use your tongue to defend the helpless. Number nine. This one you don't find in Proverbs, but I couldn't let it out. What is the right way to use your tongue? Well, to receive salvation. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, if you want to be saved, we have to confess that belief with our mouth. There's no other way. It's not good enough to simply believe in salvation and God's plan in our hearts. We have to confess it with our mouth, and that means spreading the gospel to those around us. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. I didn't explain the last part of that verse when I read it to you at first, but the last part of that verse means this: they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. It means that if you love to use your tongue, you have to live with the consequences. We all use our tongues, and we all have to live with the consequences of what we say. Let's remember to be careful, because we're going to have to give account for the words that we say when we stand before God. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for your mercy to us today. Thank you that you blessed us and we could gather in your house to worship you. And we thank you for giving us all voices and tongues that we can use. We pray that you would help us to use them wisely. Use them to praise you, to spread your gospel, to build other people up and encourage them. Pray that you will forgive us for those times when we used our tongues to do things that were wrong. Help us to learn from the mistakes that we make and to learn to serve you better. Pray that you would be near each one as in this congregation. Lord, you know the needs in each heart, and we pray that you would grant them your blessing and fill each heart with your presence and power. Pray that you would bless us all as we go from here. Pray that you would bless and keep us through the remainder of this day and this coming week. Please guide us in the things that we say and do, and give us wisdom. We We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.